Good morning. This is the Chorus Call operator. Welcome to the H1 financial result presentation for Hera Group. All participants are in listen-only mode. Following the initial presentation, there will be a chance for some Q&A. For assistance from an operator during the conference call, press star followed by zero. Now I'd like to give the floor to Mr. Tommaso Tommasi di Vignano, Executive Chairman of Hera Group. Sir, you have the floor. Good afternoon. I wanted to introduce our H1 financial result presentation. Hopefully, you had a good summer vacation. Our H1 financial results are satisfactory, and now we will be illustrating its contents. It's satisfactory because the items in the P&L and the results themselves were positive, and there was a significant improvement vis-à-vis the Q1 results. As you can see in the top right-hand corner of page one, we have highlighted the growth percentages, especially the net profit results we obtained with a +11%, which is a figure we'll be going back to later on. Of course, our results sped up between Q1 and Q2, and this also needs to be taken into account specifically when comparing our results to the previous year with H1 2014 vis-à-vis the one this year. H1 in 2014 also included some 12 million euros in EBITDA stemming from two extraordinary factors, namely the management of white certificates, and the latter was the specific equalization on the electricity market in terms of our acquisition of the Gorizia networks. Therefore, the growth we were able to post, if we look at the net growth in 2014 minus the events I mentioned, is even more significant. In any case, in general terms, we can underline how positive the results of the first half of the year this year were. As you can see on page two, we're looking at the H1 figures. You can see that these figures had the positive contribution from all of the operational sectors in terms of improvements posted. Specifically, we also need to highlight the fact that besides a growth in EBITDA, we also had a good reduction in our financial costs and the cost of debt specifically, and we can go into the details later on. We have also had a better contribution from the joint ventures and the connected companies, which in Q2 had better contributions compared to the previous periods. The tax rate is also something we'd like to focus on since it improved too from 39.3% to 37.2%, and it too contributed to a post-minorities net profit result, which is significant with an 11.5% growth. I also want to underscore the EPS, which is up by 6.7%, and therefore there was no dilution following the increase in the number of shares brought about by the share capital increase linked to the AMGA Udine acquisition. Moving on to page three to underline how in the top part of the page, the graph shows how we were able to achieve the the result had we removed the 13 million euros from the two extraordinary operations I mentioned from H1 in 2014. As you can see, that once again, we would have had a 5.8% growth in terms of EBITDA in the first half. And the makeup of that growth is very well balanced with an M&A operation, namely the Udine transaction, which has a 13 million euro impact, along with the organic growth, which is at 11.5 million. On top of that, and in line with the typical breakdown of contribution, within the 11.5 million euro growth in organic growth, we have 2.3 million stemming from the extraction of synergies from the company in the Friuli Venezia Giulia region, which has already reached, ever since the Achegas operation began, has reached 18.2 million euros, and we're ahead of schedule, actually. Therefore, we are continuing with the efficiency we had expected and with the extraction of the expected synergies. This has also brought about an increase in our EBITDA per employee rate when the integration actually happened. When the Achegas integration happened, there had been a dip since their parameters were lower compared to ours, whereas for 2015, we are expecting to reach 110,000 euros per employee, which is the target that we had. And therefore, we are aligning the new territories with the figures, the rates that we had in the rest of the territories. In terms of M&A, the contribution to the value that you can see on the screen is linked to the completion of the AMGA Udine transaction, which, as you know, was bought and which contributed beginning in July last year, and therefore for the first time we were able to have the contribution of AMGA Udine for the first half of the year this year. The second operation, the second transaction, was an energy customer transaction. This is a company that we made the acquisition of through a tender, and it brings a further 13,000 customers, and it operates in the Abruzzo region. These are the most significant elements. Plus, and this is something that we have reaped the benefits of in recent times, we are continuing with the typical reorganization and maintenance operations within the group, which are also present as far as the better contribution and the improved contribution of the minority shareholders, because especially as far as the waste sector is concerned, within Gera Ambiente we have been integrating the activities, the businesses that used to be dealt with by companies which used to have minorities within them. And therefore, this has brought about and will continue to bring about a reduction in minorities. And this year, it refers to the Acron transaction specifically. We acquired 100% of that company, and as of July 1st this year, we have fully integrated that company within the Gera Ambiente structure. Although this doesn't have any effect on the EBITDA of the company, it was already consolidated because Gera Ambiente was a majority shareholder. That was just a way of underlining the things we have been managing in recent times. And once again, we are very satisfied with the balance we've been able to achieve. As you can see on page 3, the various businesses over time proved to be very balanced in terms of contributing to the group's overall results. And I want to hand the floor to Stefano, who will be going into the details on the various businesses. Thank you and good afternoon. I'd like to begin by the recent remarks made by the Executive Chairman as far as waste is concerned. As you may remember, Q1 was characterized by results which were lower compared to the previous year as far as the waste business is concerned. Q2, on the other hand, has brought a growth rate which, as you can see, was equal to 2.4 million. Compared to 2014. This has allowed us to reabsorb a part of the gap that we had had in March 2015, equal to some 5 million euros, and that has been reduced to 2.5 million. That's due to simple reasons explained through the motivations that we had explained at the end of March. In other words, as you can see on page 4, the volumes we treated in Q2 were in line with the volumes of the previous year, and they were in line with the volumes in Q1 2014, and therefore we were able to stabilize the 100,000 ton reduction that we had had in Q1 this year compared to the previous year. Therefore, all in all, the dynamics of volumes in Q2 were in line with our expectations and with the results posted last year, and the benefits, the improvement, were also brought about by a price difference. The prices, in fact, were slightly above the ones posted last year, and this brought about the 2.4 million growth, which you can see in Q2 this year. In general terms, Q2 improved its profitability, and as far as H1 is concerned, we were able to consolidate the EBITDA margin slightly below 28% as we had had last year. Also, in Q2, as you can see from the figures, we had our plants, our assets running at full capacity. And therefore, from this point of view, we were able to reabsorb some of the stops we had had in Q1. And in fact, the volumes treated in the waste energy plants in Q2 were 3.5% above the previous year. We also have the Akron consolidation that is moving along, as the chairman said. But you can see that we had a reduction in minorities, as you can see from the P&L. And the development of the business model focused on a recovery of waste and on the incineration of waste at the end of June this year posted an increase in sorted collection, which is now up to almost 55%, with an urban waste trend which was positive in H1 with a 2 or 3% increase compared to the previous year. Therefore, we do have some positive signals, which, as I was saying, are able to offset and actually reabsorb part of the effects that we had seen in Q1. On page 5, we have a breakdown of the regulated activities as far as networks are concerned. In the comparison here with the comparison, we have to go back to the specific equalization of the white certificates that the chairman was mentioning early on during his introduction, which is equal to 13.5 million. And in Q1, with the Q1 results, or with the H1 results rather, linked to organic growth and linked to the AMGA contribution, we were able to reabsorb that one-off event we had had in Q1 last year. And the result for H1 is pretty much the same. You may remember that in March, we still had a 4 million euro difference compared to the previous year when comparing the figures. As far as the P&L is concerned, now the results for H1 2015, equal to almost 213 million euros, was brought about by an increase in our gas distribution activities equal to 8.5 million, which brought about a 79.2 million euro result in H1. We also had growth in the water sector, which once again benefited in terms of revenues and also in further efficiency that we worked on, with an almost 5 million euro growth, with an overall EBIT equal to 107.6 as far as H1 is concerned. Electricity distribution had a revenue reduction equal to 2.5 million, with an EBIT equal to 18.1 million, whereas district heating, also thanks to improved conditions as far as the thermal effects are concerned, in the first month of the year, and we were able to post a 2 million euro improvement compared to the previous year, with a 7.6 million euro general result for H1 2015. And therefore, generally speaking, as far as generating the 13 million euro growth, we had 8 million euros coming in from the AMGA contribution and 5 million euros stemming from organic growth, most of which are linked to the good performance of the water business, which now has an EBITDA margin equal to almost 29%. As far as sales are concerned, we consolidated the good results posted last year, which we had already illustrated in Q1. You may remember that in Q1 we had a positive result compared to the previous year, equal to plus 12 million. And as far as H1 is concerned, we were able to consolidate the figures going up to 14 million. And even in Q2, we were able to improve profitability by a couple million euros. This was determined by obvious facts. We have been confirming the increasing volumes compared to 2014, equal to 150 million cubic meters. We had a good performance as far as electricity is concerned. Compared to the previous year, we have been able to reach 80,000 customers more, moving up to 830,000 customers in general terms. And with the contribution of the consolidation of the AMGA commercial activities and the Alento gas acquisition, we were able to go above 1.3 million customers in gas. And therefore, if we add up the two types of customers, we are up to almost 2.2 million energy customers to end users. The breakdown of the results of the semester, equal to 117 million euros, is broken down into 80 million euros on gas sales, 33 million euros refer to the electricity sales, and only 4 million euros or 4.5 million euros to power generation, which in our case, as we illustrated for Q1, suffered due to a contraction in revenues from the MSD market, the ancillary services, equal to almost 6 million euros. That did have an impact. Otherwise, the business area result would have been even better. And from this point of view, our activities, as far as sales are concerned, are moving along as usual. Our procurement activities for next year have already been completed, whereas we are continuing with our commercial campaign, and we are getting ready for our 2016 electricity campaign, which, as you know, typically starts between the months of October and November. Let's give the floor to Luca for the financial presentation. Good afternoon. Our H1 financial performance was very positive. We had cash flows, operational cash flows, equal to 138 million euros, thanks to a very careful management of our working capital, and thanks to the reduction of our financial burden, and also thanks to an improved tax rate. This has allowed us to generate cash flows which have been able to fully fund the payment of the dividend which we had in the month of June, and therefore we have a net financial position which is in line with the one we had at the end of 2014 at around 2.65 billion euros. The good news have already been mentioned. We have a cost of debt which is at around 3.8%, thanks to the positive operation which we implemented in July last year with the green bond and the calling back of the bond which would have expired in 2016, an operation which allowed us to improve the cost of debt significantly, and we are seeing the benefits of this operation on the cash flows. Another positive element as far as rating is concerned, in fact, Moody's, Standard & Poor's rather, upgraded our outlook from a negative to stable in early June, confirming the fact that what we are doing from the financial P&L standpoint is going in the right direction. I think that the news is, or should be, in line with your expectations, perhaps even outdoing your expectations. It was a good first half of the year, and we will continue with our programmed activities. As I mentioned earlier, we will be working on some fine-tuning as far as our organization is concerned. In June, we started a new company. We have been managing our waste-to-energy plants in the Veneto region with a unified approach so that we can further integrate that area of business with our activities here in the Emilia-Romagna region. We had some very good financial results, as Mr. Moroni illustrated. We have nothing further to add, besides the fact that we are working a great deal on the update to the business plan. I don't know whether or not we have an exact date yet, but we will soon be publishing the updated version of the business plan to 2019. These were the main elements. And as you know, we work on a day-to-day basis. And as Stefano was mentioning concerning the waste business, in the presentation, we didn't split the investments made in the first half of the year. The only sector which was lagging a little bit behind compared to H1 last year was waste, because we wanted to keep some aces in our sleeve to work on improving some of our plants, which we had suffered from in Q1. So these are operations. These are transactions that we have to work on with the right timing, with the right price. And we are continuing to work on such transactions. At this point, I'd like to open the floor to some Q&A, but again, these are the fundamentals as far as we're concerned. This is the Chorus Call operator. We can now begin with the Q&A part of the presentation. For any questions you may have, press star followed by 1 on your telephone. To leave the questions list, press star followed by 2. And please pose questions using your telephone and speaking slowly and clearly. Anybody with a question can now press star followed by one. The first question is from the Italian conference by Javier Suarez, Mediobanca. Good afternoon. Javier from Mediobanca here. I have three or four questions for you. First of all, a question on synergies. You mentioned that the AMGA Udine synergies and that the Acegas synergies are now at 18 million euros. And I seem to remember that in the business plan, you were referring to some 30 million euros in synergies, which you expected to extract from AMGA Udine and Acegas. This means that two-thirds of the job has already been completed in the first half of 2015 alone. When can these targets actually be achieved? I remember that you had expected to achieve them by 2018. It seems to me that the delivery of the extraction of synergies is very fast. The second question is on the waste business. I was very interested in the comment on prices, because what we're seeing is that volumes are staying stable, while we're seeing a slight increase in prices. The question for you is, what are the underlying reasons for this? Is it linked to a larger demand for these services, or is it linked to the company's positioning in the services where margins are higher? So can you explain what the underlying trends are, what the reasons are for this increase in prices and in waste services? And my third question is on the water business. In the presentation, you mentioned that besides the tariffs, there is the issue of efficiency, which is contributing to increasing the EBITDA margin. How relevant is the efficiency in the performance of the water business, and how much potential is there for further efficiency? And my last question is on working capital. Slide 7, we saw that working capital has no effect on H1 2015. And I was wondering what the trend as far as the change in working capital could be to year-end. I'm saying this because this year, I believe you cashed in for the Salvaguardia service for 2014. And for the rest of the year, you will have to finance the Salvaguardia, the safeguard services. What are your expectations for the evolution of working capital for H2 2015? This is Mr. Tomasi. I'll try to answer to the first two questions. As far as synergies are concerned, I refer to 18 million euro, but in fact it's 18.2 million as of the end of June, at the end of H1. Therefore, we are perfectly in line with our expectations because the Acegas operation began in January 2013. So that means we've been working for 2.5 years vis-a-vis the 5 years that you correctly mentioned. Therefore, if we continue with this pace, we will be achieving our target, and we'll see whether or not we can work or achieve the results ahead of schedule. We'll see. In some sectors, the synergies can happen all at once. For instance, the large chunk of our IT services isn't something that we can work on every week. With new programs. It's something we work on, and then all at once we can cover an entire sector or an entire project, and at that point, obviously, we have a sizable effect all at once at a given moment in time. Therefore, we have posted good results so far, 8.5 million in 2013, and the 7.8 in 2014, and the 2.3 in the first 6 months this year. We'll continue with this pace, and I think that our target is very much in our reach. But then a second question on the waste prices. The reason for the slight increase is due to two reasons, I feel. The first is that we never concealed the fact that at the end of Q1 this year, we did suffer a bit in terms of availability. That's because demand was above our capacity to dispose of waste for two reasons. One was a reason that Stefano explained, so much so that it was a one-off event. We had some plants which had to be stopped, some waste energy plants had to be stopped. Those were one-off events. We stopped those in Q1, and we solved the problem. But at the same time, we had grown accustomed to have a kind of a buffer. Our landfills, vis-à-vis the market demands. And on the one hand, our landfills were progressively closed, as highlighted by the regional government's waste plan and also due to EU legislation. We had to close four small landfills this year. And on the other hand, we wanted to maintain the larger landfills as envisaged in the business plan. And one of these landfills had some problems in terms of the usability, and therefore that reduced our ability to dispose of waste. These events led us to make some choices in terms of the types of clients to turn to, and also in terms of those customers willing to pay better or more vis-a-vis what they had been used to pay in the previous 3 years, 3 years in which, due to the crisis, prices had suffered both here and on the rest of the market. And therefore, with a lower availability of treatment capacities, we were able to fine-tune our selection. Obviously, this refers to the special waste sector, because as far as the urban waste sector is concerned, and they performed well, and they increased in terms of quantity in the last queue as well, and urban waste has a higher value in terms of tariff, but also, but they also have to be disposed of. They have to be the first types of waste to be disposed of by law. Were urban waste to increase even more, we would be forced to dispose of urban waste by law before disposing of special waste. And therefore, as far as special waste is concerned, that refers to the market, and therefore that can be conditioned due to the availability of assets in a given moment in time. And therefore, currently we have been witnessing a growth in figures as far as price is concerned compared to the previous year. And this is a growth which needs to be measured vis-a-vis special waste, the market-driven waste. And as far as special waste is concerned, both for the humid part of the waste and for the dry part of the waste as well, growth has been quite homogeneous and quite significant as well. And now it's a matter of continuing in this direction while we continue to work on our asset base, and that's something that we are committed to. We are working on some scouting activities, and where we have some tangible results, we will be surely letting you know. As far as your question of the water business is concerned, we still have some room to improve efficiency. We're also working on that as far as the business plan is concerned. Cost rationalization is on the top of our list. Also in terms of the evolutions as far as tariffs are concerned, it's an evolution which will be happening. We still don't know what exactly it will entail, but it will happen, and therefore we have to work on costs. And costs have been a priority as of last year. And in drafting the new business plan, the topic of cost regulated business is important. As far as the water is concerned, we have a 28.5% margin. We expect to increase it up to 30%. And take into account that as far as water is concerned, we have some 750 million euros in terms of turnover. Perhaps Luca can answer the question of working capital. As far as working capital is concerned, in H1, as you mentioned, we were able to reap the benefits on the cash in on Salvaguardia from CCSC. That was worth some 80 million euros. And furthermore, we had a further benefit on working capital stemming basically from the effect of the introduction on of the regulation on split payment and reverse charge on VAT, which had a positive effect, which is temporary. That's worth some 50 million euros. This effect will disappear towards the end of the year because the VAT will have to be paid by year-end, by December 27th. But also as far as the seasonal nature of working capital, June is a month which gives us less satisfaction, so to speak. Therefore, the two effects by the end of the year will be offsetting each other. Therefore, our expectation is that there won't be further major variations on working capital by year end. And in terms of NFP, we should be pretty much stable. What will the effect of the Salvaguardia service be for 2015? And I'm referring to the cost for HERA, which will be recognized in 2016, equal to the 80 million euros that you cashed in 2014. Well, as far as the Salvaguardia market is concerned, we cashed in 80 million euros. We accounted for that in November 2015. We will account that in November 2015. That happens on a two-year basis. We account for that on the turnover and on the credits, which are still open on the two-year period. As far as the year is concerned, it's worth some 40 million euros, and we will be accounting that next in 2016. Hopefully, having cash in at the end of 2016, but again, that will depend on when we will have the cash available to be able to reimburse the amounts, either in 2016 or, as we saw this year, shifting that to early 2017. Thank you. The next question is by Stefano Gamberini, Equita. Good afternoon. I also have three questions. First of all, I have a question on consolidation. Can you give us an update on where you stand as far as IMAG is concerned? Negotiations haven't been moving on after the Q1 conference call. Can you give us an update on that? And can you comment on what you expect on the decrees linked on the reform of the public administration? My second question refers to the consultation paper on WG distribution. How do you, what do you think of that? There are two interesting aspects. The regulator wants to introduce some incentives as far as consolidation is concerned. And secondly, the introduction of the concept of cost per inhabitant. Can there be any positive effects as far as that is concerned? And a final question, going back to waste. If I understood correctly, you are working at full capacity as far as your plants are concerned. And you were mentioning that you were waiting for the approval of a new landfill, which didn't happen. When do you think it will be approved? I'm just trying to understand what we can expect for next year in terms of volumes. Will there be a further possibility to grow before any further acquisitions? Or will you continue to work at full capacity given the delays in approving the new landfills? As far as the water business is concerned, the consultation document you were mentioning is interesting. In the short term, I'm also interested in the evolution we'll be seeing in the documents pertaining to the so-called quality of service or the commercial quality. That's something that I'm counting on very much as far as the business plan is concerned. We have some expectations from that point of view because we feel that from a number of different points of view, as far as the quality of the service offered, I think we should be rewarded. I think we'll be seeing some advantages, both in terms of the quality of our commercial services and our technical services as well. We already use the same standards we have for gas and electricity, and therefore, I think that this already represents a benchmark. As far as the cost per inhabitant mechanism you were mentioning, it's a matter of seeing how that will be envisaged in the sense that we have a good variety. We have a very balanced distribution of our service throughout the territory. And therefore, I don't think we will be hindered, nor will we be advantaged. I think we will be pretty much within the average range. We'll have to look at the efficiency rates that we have. We're still in an intermediate phase. We're still discussing things, although I feel that the idea makes sense. As far as aggregation or consolidation is concerned, that's something that we hope for. Not only in water, that's something that has been discussed recently, also as far as the energy sector is concerned. These are incentives that I feel were well designed, especially the ones referring to the first phase in which we have a parameter cost scheme vis-a-vis the dimension of the entity. Obviously, whenever you have an aggregation, the size of the company increases. Whenever a transaction is sizable, especially, which is what happened to us with the Achegas APS integration, obviously delaying the application of the new recognized cost level following the transaction by 1, 2, or 3 years can give you a major contribution. Because keep in mind that in terms of post-merger costs, in terms of information, we do have these costs, and we've been able to prove that time and time again. And therefore, from this point of view, it would mean transferring to the water sector and also reintroducing in the other businesses a healthy decision so that we can truly have incentives for consolidations. What do we expect from the Madia decree? Well, in terms of the of articles 18 and 19, it's pretty clear. It is appears to be in line with the things the government has been expressing. And besides the fact that the implementation decree will have to be issued within the upcoming 12 months, and therefore this means that the principles will have to be translated into specific regulations for the various parties involved, and hopefully, thanks to that tool, we'll be able to be more determined in complying with the provisions included in that decree. For instance, we have always said, time and time again, but after having defined that the optimal territorial catchment areas for the tenders, and I believe that for the water cycle, in one of the decrees, I think it was a Salvitalia Rilancio Italia decree, It was mentioned that the catchment area should have been the province. And the only thing missing was the one for urban services. And in the Badia Decree, Article 18 states that the optimal catchment areas has to be drafted for all the services. The only one missing is the one for waste. That goes without saying. And therefore, that is certainly an important element. Plus, the decree also states that management activities will have to be have to have competition. And that will block some of the municipalities already existing or in-house companies. That's something that we have all been hoping for. Now, I don't want to go into each and every point listed in the decree. There are all some things we agree with. We're still missing that element concerning the importance for each municipality that will bring about a process which, at least on the central level, something that everybody agrees on. Well, as far as I'm concerned, besides the fact that the incentives and the question you were asking in terms of how we're positioned on consolidation, well, the things that Stefan has been saying so far are all important things, and I'm sure that they can all pave the way. That's a way of explaining that there will no longer be any room for the micro-municipal companies. Therefore, it's a matter of how effective the new legislation will be. Having said that, as we already said in March, we are currently going through a very careful scouting phase. That's how I would define the position we're in. The fact that we're scouting doesn't mean that we're actually negotiating things. It means that we've been having a number of different meetings so that we can choose the best possible options and the best possibilities. Therefore, I have no names to mention, given all the things I've said. And since we already gave the market a geographical idea of the direction we're headed in, I think it's not very complicated to understand what areas we will be focusing on. You studied the topic very well, I'm sure. And therefore, I'm sure you know that there are different sized target companies. And in the business plan update, we will certainly be confirming the fact that we have been scouting. And as we've always done in recent years, we will also be giving you some ideas as to the time frame and the size of the targets that we will be working on within the business plan years. That's our strategy. We are not fond of announcing things prematurely, although I'm sure that soon we will have good or bad news or small or large transactions. Soon we will be making the announcement. For the time being, we have nothing further to add because it would be also negative as far as our relationships with our counterparts are concerned. As far as the IMAG company is concerned, it's a very touchy situation. Our counterparts in that transaction are very complex. One day someone says something, and the next day they change their minds. They have now started to gather a manifestation of interest. Since we're shareholders, we'll see how we can deal with the situation. It'll be concluded by September, October, and then we'll be seeing whether or not we're still interested in the company or whether or not we have to choose other things. There's nothing further to add as far as integration or consolidation is concerned. Whereas, as far as the waste business is concerned, I think our position is very clear. We have all types of assets. We have 70 different plants. And if they all function well, if they are all up and running, and if they don't have any stops or if they don't have to suspend their activities, obviously, following the negative effects we had 2 years ago, we were able to work on our price policy, and we can use our available plants at full capacity. And the volumes we have are similar to last year, and we'll be working on improving that this year. As you were mentioning, we did have that situation with a third landfill in the Modena province that you were mentioning. It has some problems currently in terms of authorizations and in terms of the work which needs to be done to get it up and running again. Therefore, that is a share that we are missing in terms of doing slightly more than what we can do currently, since we are running at full capacity. And I already mentioned the fact earlier that we are looking around, we are looking at what can be done in terms of investment so that we can add some plants to our portfolio as a way of covering this moment in time in which we don't have the full availability of this landfill I was mentioning. And it's a sizable landfill. Therefore, out of the total 70 plants we have, it's nothing dramatic. But as far as our ability, as far as our ability to treat waste, it's nothing major. And if we won't be able to speed things up as far as the work which needs to be done on that landfill and on the authorization, as envisioned by the business plan, we'll try to find different solutions, perhaps, by increasing our availability either in the landfill sector or in other sectors, and seeing what the market has to offer. And therefore, in H2 this year, something will be happening in this field, and that would certainly offset the problems we've been having with the Modena landfill. That's about it. Thank you. Our next question is by Dario Caradori, Goldman Sachs. Good afternoon. A question on the tax rate, the 37%. Is that sustainable for the second half of the year and for the years ahead? My second question is on the gas supply. Gas prices have been lowering. Can we expect good margins, since traditionally you've had a short approach to gas, and therefore can we expect some good margins for the winter? And my last question is more in general on the business plan that you will be illustrating soon. Can you give us some ideas on the trends from the qualitative point of view in the various businesses, and what businesses are doing better or worse compared to the previous installment of the business plan? As far as the tax rate is concerned, it has a certain cyclical nature, which is linked to the trends in the EDAP tax, By year end, we expect to have a 38.5% level, a full year, which is 2% better compared to last year, if I remember correctly. As far as the gas supply is concerned, the prices have been going down. It's true. But in this kind of a market context, it depends on the type of contracts for gas you have on the end customer. Nowadays, most customers, in line with the expectations for the next 12 or 24 months, most customers are asking for indexed contracts, meaning that if you sell a TTF indexed contract, by buying on the TTF, you are obviously hedged on the TTF price trend. But once you fix a margin, that is the margin you have. You can't profit by staying short on procurement, because besides the risk that entails, to do that you would have to sell at a fixed rate. And that also goes for the ACC contract, because as you know, the ACC contracts, the ones for the Maggior Tutela contract, are indexed to TTF. So even from that point of view, you cannot speculate on the lower gas prices. Nevertheless, since the gas prices partially linked to the oil prices and also linked to the offer on the market, when I previously said that we had signed satisfactory contracts for next year, that means that even this year we were able to have conditions which were positive, and we were able to take advantage from the market's balance. As far as the trends are concerned, that would be a very complex answer. I think it's a little premature. As far as the business plan is concerned, I think it's it would be more appropriate to talk about it with the board of directors before we talk about it to investors. I think all I have to do is look at the business trends for H1. For any questions you may have, press star followed by 1 on your telephone. For any further questions, press star followed by 1. The next question is a follow-up by Stefano Gamberini, Equita. Just two further things. The first is for the E.ON customer tender. That transaction wasn't concluded. Can you go back to that? Are you still interested in it? Then the second question, can you comment on your expectations you have on EBITDA year-end, or can you comment on consensus? And a final question on gas tenders, even here, when do you think the tenders will actually start? Well, as far as the E.ON customer sale is concerned, as a matter of fact, in August we discovered that they had changed their mind. We read about it in the papers. I don't understand the rationale behind the decision. Our rationale is still the same in terms of being interested in customers and the supply market. We feel that not only do we have a good position, but we also have a certain integration ability, and we have room for further growth. And therefore, on that type of business, we are always interested in looking at opportunities whenever they exist. Then, if November, our German friends will change their minds again, and if the conditions will be right, we'll go back to that. Having said that, on those types of activities, those are one of the areas that we're focused on in terms of the possibility to make acquisitions. But obviously, we looked at the opportunities on the market. Alento was an opportunity 2 or 3 months ago, and we'll see whether or not there will be some further opportunities in the coming months. As we have underlined time and time again, the supply segment in the next 2 years will be a segment which will witness consolidation. It doesn't make sense to continue having 40 or 50 different players in that market segment, the segment which obviously needs economies of scale, also in terms of future prospects. As far as the gas tenders are concerned, it's a process which is continuing. Honestly speaking, we can see things from the point of view of the territories we're operating in. We have some information on the things happening elsewhere. As far as the Achegas, APS, and AMGA territory, and as far as the territory here in Emilia-Romagna is concerned, all of the tender centers have been created. They're all working. They're all very concerned with sticking to the latest time frame, which was issued. And I think that the first tenders will be happening either at the end of this year or early next year. The first tenders will be happening in 2016 for sure. And from this point of view, we have fine-tuned things as far as the business plan is concerned. We have had a 12-month shift compared to the previous business plan. And I'm sure that by 2019, we will have completed all the tenders in our territory. There is no province which still hasn't started its activities as far as the tender center is concerned, the tender station is concerned. And there is there are interactions going on. But as far as I'm concerned, last July, the authority still hadn't received any tender draft. I think some are waiting for someone to make the first move, so to speak. I heard somewhere that Milan would have been the first, would have had the first tender, but then that didn't happen as far as I know. I'm sure this phase, a standstill, will end within the next 4 to 8 weeks. And therefore, the first calls for tender will be happening by year-end. And as far as the guidelines are concerned, we never make a statement on that. Hansen showed me the consensus for the first 6 months. And based on that consensus, we're in line, if not slightly better. But I'm not seeing the consensus for the whole year. And he showed us, a consensus just a minute before we entered the conference call. The next question is a follow-up by Javier Suarez, Mediobanca. Thank you. Thanks again. I had two or three other questions. The first is on taxation. You mentioned that taxation in 2015 will be at around 38.5%. Do I remember the previous guidance was at 40%? And my next question is, the 38.5% taxation, is it sustainable for the upcoming years besides 2015? My second question is, the lower MSD, the lower ancillary services for the first 6 months, what will the effect be for the full year? Yes, in fact, if by guideline you're referring to what we had included in last year's business plan, you're right. We had mentioned taxation at around 40% because when we presented the business plan last year, we weren't sure that that the Robin tax would have been completely removed, and therefore the difference between 40% and 38.5% referring to today refers to the removal of the Robin Hood tax. As far as the contribution or the impact of ancillary services, or MSD, last year the contribution was equal to some 10 million euros. This year it's down to zero for the first 6 months, and therefore the most expected impact would be 10 or 11 million. Can you give us a breakdown for the tax rate for H1 2015? For water was 70 and then gas 32. What about the remaining businesses? The total for net investments is in H1, 60 in water, 32 in gas, 10 in electricity, 15 in waste, and the remaining part for the other businesses, including IT, facilities, etc. Thank you. The next question is a follow-up by Dario Carradori, Goldman Sachs. As far as the cost of debt is concerned, since it is being reduced, do you still have the intention of further reducing it? Is there any renegotiation which will be happening in Q3? Well, the work we've been doing over the past 12 to 18 months was pretty significant. You may remember that we had a cost of debt which was closer to 4.7%, and then over time with the various refinancing operations we have been able to bring it down to 3.8%. Recently we made a swap transaction for a large part of the variable rate debt, moving that to a fixed rate. And therefore, given the low rates which currently exist, we were able to maintain the 3.8% tax rate over time to the expiry of the two loans which were swapped from variable to fixed rate. These were the two bonds, the 19 and 21 bonds. Therefore, the two swaps were made at around 2%, if not below that. Therefore, as far as the average is concerned, we're at 3.8%. For this year, I don't think there is any further room for improvement. There may be some further fine-tuning in the portion which needs to be reimbursed or managed, the remaining part of the 2016 bond worth some 190 million euros, which will expire in February 2016. Therefore, since that part of the debt is still at 4.5%, we'll probably be able to refinance it at lower rates. But these are marginal values compared to the overall value. Therefore, the 3.8% rate is fairly representative for the future. Again, besides further fine-tuning we'll be looking at. Thank you. For any further questions, press star followed by 1 on your telephone. Mr. Tomas Di Vignano, gentlemen, for the time being, there are no further questions. Thank you very much, and see you soon.